Further Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, the Chapter Summaries, Madhya Lila 2, Purports. In this second chapter of the Madhya Lila, the activities of Lord Chaitanya, which took place after Lord Chaitanya accepted sannyas, are generally described. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is specifically mentioned herein as being Gaura, or of fair complexion. Krishna is generally known to be blackish, but when Krishna is absorbed in the thought of the gopis, who are all of fair complexion, Krishna himself also becomes fair complexioned, or Gaura. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in particular felt separation from Krishna very deeply, exactly like a lover who is dejected in separation from the beloved. Such feelings, which were expressed by Lord Chaitanya for nearly 12 years at the end of his pastimes, are described briefly in this second chapter of Madhya Lila. Because of the winds of the sea, sometimes the sand would form dunes. Such sand dunes are called Chataka Parvata. So instead of seeing these sand dunes simply as hills of sand, Lord Chaitanya would take them to be Govardhan Hill. Sometimes Lord Chaitanya would run towards these sand dunes at high speed, crying very loudly, expressing the state of mind exhibited by Srimati Radharani. Thus, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was absorbed in thoughts of Krishna and his pastimes. Lord Chaitanya's state of mind brought Lord Chaitanya the atmosphere of Vrindavan and Govardhan Hill, and thus Lord Chaitanya enjoyed the transcendental bliss of separation and meeting. The ecstatic transformations of the body described in such exalted literatures as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu are practically not to be seen in this material world. However, the symptoms were perfectly present in the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and these symptoms are indicative of Mahabhav, or the highest ecstasy. Sometimes sahajiyas artificially imitate these symptoms, but experienced devotees reject such imitations immediately. The author of Chaitanya Charitamrita admits herein that these symptoms are not to be found anywhere but in the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The moonlike face of Krishna is the reservoir of nectarian songs and is the abode of Krishna's flute. Krishna's moonlike face is also the root of all bodily beauty. The gopis think that if their eyes are not engaged in seeing the beautiful face of Krishna, then it would be better for them to be struck by a thunderbolt. For the gopis, to see anything but Krishna is uninteresting, and indeed detestable. The gopis are never pleased to see anything but Krishna. The only solace for their eyes is the beautiful moon-like face of Krishna, which is the worshipful object of all senses. And when they cannot see the beautiful moon-like face of Krishna, the gopis actually see everything as vacant, and they desire to be struck by a thunderbolt. So the gopis do not find any reason to maintain their eyes when they are bereft of the beauty of Krishna. In this connection, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur quotes the following verses from the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which were spoken by Shaunaka Rishi to Suta Goswami. Ayur Harati Vai Pungsam Udyan Astang Chayan Asau. tasyarte yat kshano nita utamashloka vartaya tarava kinna jivanti bastra kinna shvasanti uta na kadantina mehanti king grame pashavo pare shva vid varahostra karai sangstuta pudusha pashu na yat karna pato peto jatu nama gadagraja bile bato rukrame vikramanye na shrinvata karna pute narasya jivasati dardu vikeva suta na chupagayati urugaya gatha bhara param pata ki vita jushtam api utamangam na namain mukundam shabau karau no kurute saparyang harer lasat kanchana kankanauva varhayite te nayane naranam lingani vishnor na narikshato ye padau mirnang tau druma janma bajau kshetrani nanu rajato hareryau jivanshavo bhagavatangri renu na jatu martyo bilabheta yastu Shri Vishnu Padya Manujas Tulasya Shvasan Shavo Yas Tuna Veda Gandham Tad Ashmasarang Hridayang Batedam Yad Griyamanayar Hari Namadeyai Na Vrikriye Tata Yada Vikaro Netre Jalangatra Ruheshu Harsha Both by rising and setting the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone, except one who utilizes their time discussing topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. So, do the trees not live? Do the bellows of the blacksmith not breathe? All around us, do the beasts not eat and discharge semen? Men who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, praise those men who never listen to the transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, who is the deliverer from all evils. One who has not listened to the messages about the prowess and marvelous acts of the personality of Godhead, and who has not sung or chanted loudly the worthy songs about the Lord, should be considered to possess ears like the holes of snakes and a tongue like that of a frog. The upper portion of the body, although crowned with a silk turban, is only a heavy burden if not bowed down before the personality of Godhead, who can award mukti, freedom. And the hands, although decorated with glittering bangles, are like those of a dead man, if not engaged in the service of Hari, the personality of Godhead. The eyes, which do not look at the symbolic representations of the personality of Godhead, Vishnu, in his forms, names, qualities, are like those printed on the plumes of a peacock, and the legs, which do not move to the holy places where the Lord is remembered, are considered to be like tree trunks. And that person who has not at any time received upon his or her head the dust from the feet of a pure devotee of the Lord is certainly a dead body. And that person who has never experienced the flavor of the tulsi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord is also a dead body, although breathing. Certainly that heart is steel-framed, which, in spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration, does not change and feel ecstasy with tears filling the eyes and the hairs standing on end. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, The word dānya, humility, is explained as follows. When unhappiness, fearfulness, and the sense of having offended all combine, one feels condemned. The sense of condemnation is described as dīnatā, humility. When one is subjected to such humility, he or she feels physically inactive, one apologizes, and one's consciousness is disturbed. One's mind also becomes restless, and many other symptoms are also visible. The word nirveda is also explained in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. One may feel unhappiness and separation, as well as jealousy and lamentation, due to not discharging one's duties. The despondency which results is called nirveda, and when one is captured by this despondency, thoughts, tears, loss of bodily luster, humility, and heavy breathing result. Vishada is also explained in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. When one fails to achieve his or her desired goal of life and repents for all of one's offenses, then there is a state of regret known as vishada. The symptoms of avasada are also explained in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. One hankers to revive one's original condition and inquires how to do so. There are also deep thought, heavy breathing, crying and lamentation, as well as a changing of the bodily color and drying up of the tongue. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 33 such destructive symptoms are mentioned. They are expressed in words, in the eyebrows, and in the eyes. All these symptoms are called the abhichari bhav, destructive ecstasy. And if they continue, they are sometimes called sanchari, or continued ecstasy. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was speaking in ecstasy, Lord Chaitanya would see two persons before him. One was Lord Chaitanya's secretary, Swarup Damodara, and the other was Rai Ramananda. Coming to his external consciousness, Lord Chaitanya would see them both present, and although Lord Chaitanya was still talking in the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani, Lord Chaitanya immediately began to question whether he was the same Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that the lovable Supreme Lord is the supreme shelter. Krishna is the supreme subject, and his devotees are the object. The coming together of subject and object is called alambana. The object hears, and the subject plays the flute. That the object cannot see the moon-like face of Krishna, but has no eagerness to see Krishna, is the sign of being without alambana. Externally imagining such a thing simply satisfies one's lusty desires, and so one thus lives without purpose. Unalloyed love of Krishna is just like a big sheet of white cloth. Absence of attachment is compared to a black spot on that white cloth. And just as the black spot is prominent, so the absence of love of Godhead is prominent on the platform of pure love of Godhead. In front of the temple of Jagannath is a column on which the statue of Garuda is situated. It is called the Garuda Stambha, and at the base of that column is a ditch, and that ditch was filled with the tears of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is stated that when similar ecstasies from separate causes meet, They are called Swarup Sandhi. When opposing elements meet, whether they arise from a common cause or different causes, their conjunction is called Bhinna Rupa Sandhi, or the meeting of contradictory ecstasies. The simultaneous joining of different ecstasies, such as fear and happiness, regret and happiness, is called meeting or sandhi. The word shabalya refers to different types of ecstatic symptoms combined together, like pride, despondency, humility, remembrance, doubt, impatience caused by insult, fear, disappointment, patience, and eagerness. So the friction which occurs when these combine is called shabalya. Similarly, when the desire to see the object is very prominent, or when one is unable to tolerate any delay in seeing the desired object, the incapability is called autsukya, or eagerness. If such eagerness is present, one's mouth dries up and one becomes restless. One also becomes full of anxiety, and hard breathing and impatience are observed. Similarly, the lightness of heart caused by strong attachment and strong agitation of the mind is called impotence, chapalya. Failure of judgment, misuse of words, and obstinate activities devoid of anxiety are also observed. Similarly, when one becomes too angry at the other party, offensive and abominable speech occurs, and this anger is called rosha. When one becomes impatient due to being scolded or insulted, the resulting state of mind is called amarsha. In this state of mind, one perspires, acquires a headache, fades in bodily color, and experiences anxiety and an urge to search out the remedy. The bearing of a grudge, aversion, and chastisement are all visible symptoms. The word unmada is explained in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as extreme joy, misfortune, and bewilderment in the heart due to separation. Symptoms of unmad are laughing like a madman, dancing, singing, performing ineffectual activities, talking nonsense, running, shouting, and sometimes working in contradictory ways. The word pranaya is explained thus. When there is a possibility of receiving direct honor, but it is avoided, that love is called pranaya. In his Ujjvala Nilamani, Srila Rupa Goswami explains the word mana. When the lover feels novel sweetness by exchanging hearty, loving words, but wishes to hide one's feelings by crooked means, mana is thus experienced. The word vaidagya means that one is very expert, learned, humorous, cunning, beautiful, and skilled in manifesting caricatures. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, eight kinds of transcendental changes taking place in the body are described. Stambha, being stunned, refers to the mind's becoming transcendentally absorbed, and in that state, the peaceful mind is placed on the light air, and different bodily transformations are manifest. These symptoms are visible in the body of an advanced devotee. When life becomes almost inactive, it is called stunned. The emotions resulting from this condition are joy, fear, astonishment, moroseness, and anger. And in this condition, the power of speech is lost, and there is no movement in the hands or legs. Otherwise, being stunned is a mental condition. many other symptoms are visible on the entire body in the beginning. These are very subtle, but gradually they become very apparent. When one cannot speak, naturally one's active senses are arrested, and the knowledge-acquiring senses are rendered inoperative. Kampa, trembling of the body, is mentioned in Bhakti-rasamrita Sindhu as a result of a special kind of fear, anger, or joy. This is called Vaputu, or Kampa. And when the body begins to perspire because of joy, fear, and anger combined, this is called Sveda. Vaivarnya is described as a change in bodily color. It is caused by a combination of moroseness, anger, and fear. And when these emotions are experienced, the complexion turns pale and the body becomes lean and thin. Ashru is explained in Bhakti-rasamrita Sindhu as a combination of joy, anger, and moroseness, which causes water to flow from the eyes without any effort. When there is joy and there are tears in the eyes, the temperature of the tears is cold. But when there is anger, the tears are hot. But in both cases, the eyes are restless, the eyeballs are red, and there is itching. These are all symptoms of Ashru. When there is a combination of moroseness, astonishment, anger, joy, and fear, then there is a choking in the voice, and this choking is called Gadgada. In his sixth Shikshastaka verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refers to Gadgada Rudaya Gira, or a faltering voice. In Bhakti-rasamrita Sindhu, Pulaka is described as joy, encouragement, and fear. And when these combine, the hairs on the body stand on end, and this bodily state is called Pulaka. Paramananda Puri is said to have been Uddhava in Vrindavan Leela. His affections with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were on the platform of paternal love. And this was because Paramananda Puri happened to be the godbrother of the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ishwara Puri. Similarly, Ramananda Roy, who is considered an incarnation of Arjuna, and by some an incarnation of Vishakha Devi, enjoyed unalloyed fraternal love with Lord Chaitanya. Unalloyed personal service was enjoyed by Govinda and others. And in the presence of Lord Chaitanya's most confidential devotees, Gadadhar Pandit, Jagadananda, and Swarup Damodara, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enjoyed the ecstatic conditions of Srimati Radharani in her conjugal relationship with Krishna. Absorbed in these four transcendental mellows, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu resided in Jagannath Puri, feeling very much obliged to his devotees. Leela Shuka is Bilvamangala Thakur Goswami. He was a South Indian Brahmana, and his former name was Shilhana Mishra. When he was a householder, he became attracted to a prostitute named Chintamani, but eventually he took her advice and became renounced. Thus, he wrote a book named Shanti Shataka, and later, by the mercy of Lord Krishna and the Vaishnavas, he became a great devotee. Thus, he became famous as Bilvamangala Thakur Goswami, and on that elevated platform, he wrote a book named Krishna Karnamrita, which is very famous among Vaishnavas. And since he exhibited so many ecstatic symptoms, people used to call him Lila Shuka. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's capital is the touchstone of love of Godhead. So consequently, Lord Chaitanya is a great owner of that transcendental treasure. After making unlimited amounts of gold, touchstone remains the same. Similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although distributing love of Godhead unlimitedly, still remained the supreme owner of this transcendental opulence. Lord Chaitanya's devotees, who learned it from Lord Chaitanya, also had to distribute it munificently all over the world. And so this Krishna consciousness movement, ISKCON, following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his confidential devotees, is also trying to distribute love of Godhead all over the world through the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. An ordinary person cannot understand the transcendental ecstasies in the mode of Srimati Radharani. Unfit persons who try to understand them are perverted into Sahajiya, Baula, and other such sampradayas. Thus, the teachings are perverted. Even learned scholars in the academic field cannot understand the transcendental bliss and ecstasy exhibited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his pure devotees. One must be fit to understand the purport of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's activities. All the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were noted by his personal secretary, Swarup Damodara, and were repeated to Raghunath Das Goswami, who memorized them. So whatever Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami heard is recorded in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And this is called the Parampara system, from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Swarup Damodara to Raghunath Das Goswami to Kaviraj Goswami. Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami has distributed this information in this book, Chaitanya Charitamrita. In other words, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is the essence of the instruction given through the Parampara system of the disciplic succession stemming from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Kaviraj Goswami and one who follows in his footsteps do not have to cater to the public. Their business is simply to satisfy the previous acharyas and describe the pastimes of the Lord. One who is able to understand can relish this exalted transcendental literature, which is actually not meant for ordinary persons such as scholars and literary men. Generally, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, which are recorded in Chaitanya Charitamrita, are studied in universities and scholastic circles from a literary and historical point of view. But actually, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is not a subject matter for research workers or literary scholars. It is simply meant for those devotees who have dedicated their lives to the service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, the simplest thing for human beings is to follow their predecessors. Judgment, according to mundane senses, is not a very easy process. Whatever is awakened by attachment to one's predecessor is the way of devotional service, as indicated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. However, the author says that he cannot consider the opinions of those who become attracted or repelled by such things because one cannot write impartially in that way. In other words, the author is stating that he did not inject personal opinion in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Rather, he has simply described his spontaneous understanding from superiors. And if he had been carried away by someone's likes and dislikes, he could not have written of such a sublime subject matter in such an easy way. For the actual facts are understandable to real devotees. And when these facts are recorded, they are very congenial to the devotees. But one who is not a devotee cannot understand. Such is the subject matter for realization. Mundane scholarship and its concomitant attachments and detachments cannot arouse spontaneous love of Godhead. Such love cannot be described by a mundane scholar. According to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, there are three kinds of devotees. Number one, bhajana vigya, experts in devotional service. Number two, bhajana shila, devotees engaged in devotional service. And three, Krishna name dikshita Krishna nama kari, initiated devotees engaged in chanting the holy name of God. The author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita begs the mercy of all these three kinds of devotees, asking them to be pleased with him. Indeed, he says, let the neophyte devotees, the devotees who are very expert in arguing, though they have no sense of advanced devotional service, and who think themselves very advanced because they imitate some smarta brahmana, let such devotees not be displeased with me, thinking that I have committed errors in this regard. I beg their pardon with great humility, but I am submitting that I personally have no desire to add or subtract anything. I have only written what I have heard in the disciplic succession because I am dedicated to the lotus feet of previous acharyas like Swarup Damodar, Raghunath Das Goswami and Rupa Goswami. I have only written what I have learned from them. Recorded September 24, 2022 by Nirantara Dasa. All glories to the ISKCON founder Acharya A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Om Tat Sat.